Hello, hello. This is Kathavani. Welcome back to this episode of Ramayana Ayodhya Kanda, episode 18, Finding Comfort with Loyal Friends. Thank you for listening. In the last episode, we'd left Dasharatha and Kausalya grieving their beloved son's departure to Dandakaranya, the Dandaka forest, accompanied by Sita. Dasharatha lay in bed, exhausted by his debilitating bereavement that piled on top of Kaikeyi's heartbreaking betrayal and ultimatums. Kausalya, Rama's mother, expressed her grief and anger openly to her husband, Dasharatha. "You've thrown Rama away from his rightful place to satisfy the whims of Kaikeyi. I will always be frightened knowing we have a vicious serpent in our house who released her venom on our beloved Rama. Our Rama has been banished to endure the hardships of the forest for no fault of his. How easily Kaikeyi was able to separate me from my sons and my dutiful daughter-in-law Sita. They may have already left Ayodhya and entered the forest by now. How will they survive a miserable life gathering fruits and roots, sleeping in the wilderness after being used to the comforts of this palace? When will I see them return to Ayodhya again? When will this great city rejoice again? Without my son, I have no will to live." Queen Sumitra, mother of Lakshmana, sat by Kausalya and her beloved husband Dasharatha in their darkest hours. Her name translates literally to good friend, and she remained true to her name, a devoted friend to her husband Dasharatha and his first wife Kausalya. Sumitra, princess of the ancient kingdom of Kashi, consoled Kausalya with these far-sighted sage words. "Kausalya, you are fortunate to be blessed with Rama as your son. Your illustrious son calmly renounced the kingdom and all his possessions without hesitation or angst to vindicate the words of his great father. He picked the path of Dharma that is followed by the wise despite all the hardships. The everlasting results of his actions to uphold truth, Satya, will be fully realized in the worlds to come. Such a rare son, steady in the path of Dharma and Satya, is never to be grieved over. No harm will befall him. Maharishi Vishwamitra bequeathed all his Divyastras to Rama, pleased by Rama's virtues, prowess, and skills. Rama will be safe in the forest by the strength of his arms. There is no enemy that Rama can't defeat, no evil forces that will approach one who is so superior to all in his adherence to Satya and Dharma. He is endowed with virtues and is knowledgeable about all aspects of Dharma. Devi, do not grieve. That day will arrive when Rama will return to Ayodhya after fulfilling his father's promise with Lakshmana and Sita. He will touch your feet in respect. You will embrace him heartily. The three will return and Rama will rule this kingdom from Ayodhya. Rama, left to live as an exile in the forest to uphold his father's promises, as is his duty. You know Rama is a Mahatma, supreme being, and Purushottama, best among men. Your beautiful daughter-in-law Sita is Lakshmi and went to the forest willingly, knowing the hardships of life as an ascetic's partner. Lakshmana too left willingly to be with Rama, serve and protect Rama and Sita. If you are overcome by fear and grief, who will console others? We cannot grieve over our children's exemplary actions. We should be rightfully proud and strong." Sumitra's soothing words about Rama's duties, skills, and virtues lessened Kausalya's immense grief and enabled Kausalya to find some peace. She looked forward to the day when Rama, Lakshmana, and Sita would return to Ayodhya to joyous celebrations and welcome. Meanwhile, Rama, Lakshmana, and Sita, their hearts grieving, drove out of their beloved city Ayodhya in Sumatra's chariot, pulled by Dasharatha's magnificent horses. Faithful followers of Rama trailed the chariot. This caravan included citizens of Kosala of all ages and occupations, Janpats, leaders and chiefs of people, Brahmana priests who'd left their sacrificial fires and rituals started for the coronation in the middle of the stalled event, Vaishya traders who abandoned their coronation stalls, Kshatriya warriors who left their posts, entire families, men, women, and children, as well as just men who left their family behind in Ayodhya to serve Rama. Rama, moved by their request to return to Ayodhya, explained how he needed to carry out his duty to his father and king and keep his promises to live an ascetic's life in the forest for 14 years. He insisted that as an ascetic, he couldn't have loyal followers and attendants. He insisted they return to Ayodhya, to their king Dasharatha. He was humbled by their affection and loyalty and implored them to love and support his brother, Prince Bharata, the heir to the throne, just as much as they loved and respected him. Rama praised Bharata's virtues. Younger though he is wiser than me, and he will protect you and the kingdom. Rama reiterated their duty, dharma, as citizens to obey the king, just as he was following the king's orders. The people following him were firm in their belief that where Rama lived would be their Ayodhya, and that their allegiance was only to Rama. They pleaded with Rama to return to Ayodhya, entreated Sumatra to turn the chariot around back to Ayodhya. Their pleas were ignored, and they called out to the horses to turn back home. Rama dismounted from the chariot with Lakshmana and Sita and walked the rest of the way until they reached the banks of river Tamasa just before dusk. They decided to camp there for the night. Sumatra tended to the horses. Rama, Lakshmana, and Sita performed their evening ritual, Sandhyakala Puja. They made a bed of grass and leaves on the ground for this first night of exile. Rama and Sita decided to continue their fast, foregoing food, marking the first day of their exile with prayers. Rama expressed his distress to Lakshmana about their parents' grief over their exile and resigned himself to the belief that Bharata would return soon to console and comfort their parents with loving attention and care. Rama appreciated Lakshmana's decision to accompany them for Sita's protection as well as his own morale. After talking along these lines to Lakshmana and Sita, Rama retired for the night with Sita to lay on the bed of leaves. All around them, at a respectful distance, their followers settled down slowly for the night. Lakshmana and Sumatra kept guard together that night without sleep, talking at length about Rama's virtues and dispassionate renunciation. Rama woke up after a few hours of rest while the people still slept after the eventful and tiring day. Rama acknowledged their determination to be with him without any expectations of comfort. He knew as a prince it was his duty to ensure the welfare of the citizens. Knowing the hardships of living in the forest from previous experiences, he felt responsible for causing and exposing his people to the dangers and difficulties of sleeping in the wilderness out in the open. Rama realized that as long as they were together, he would be unable to discourage these determined folk from following him. He informed Sumatra to drive them across the river Tamasa, a tributary of River Ganga, right away, even though it was still night. The citizens of Ayodhya do not deserve to sleep under trees, he said. Let us cross the river and get to the forest quickly. Sumatra quietly harnessed the refreshed horses to the chariot and skillfully crossed the river in the dark with the two princes, Sita, and their few possessions. On the other bank, Rama alighted from the chariot with Sita and Lakshmana. He asked Sumitra to drive around some distance towards Ayodhya before returning back to them. Sumitra agreed with Rama's judgment and proposal to confuse and discourage the Ayodhya Vasis, the people of Ayodhya, from traveling to the forest with him. Sumitra drove the chariot across the river Tamasa again and went towards Ayodhya before returning to Rama on the other bank. The three travelers boarded the chariot again. Sumitra, according to tradition, pointed the chariot in the northerly direction, which was considered auspicious to start their journey. Their destination was towards Sage Agastya's ashram in the south. They traveled south and east, crossing the rivers Vedashruti and Gomati, riding through the Koshala kingdom. Rama excitedly talked about these regions of their kingdom, pointing sights out to Sita as they drove by and discussing with Sumitra and Lakshmana about their experiences in these regions. They greeted villagers affectionately as they passed by, comforting their distress seeing Rama banished with his wife. Rama gently reminded these passers-by how duty towards his father, the king, was binding for him as well as for them. He entreated them to not prolong their grief and to return to their work and lives as usual. As they crossed the borders of Koshala kingdom, the two princes saluted in the direction of Ayodhya with a tearful farewell and wishes to return after fulfilling their promise to spend 14 years as ascetics. Meanwhile, the Ayodhya Vasis woke up in the morning to realize their prince Rama had already departed. They realized the futility of traveling ahead without knowing which direction Rama had taken and how long ago. After much search, they found the tracks leading back to Ayodhya and returned home, hoping the prince had changed his mind and returned to Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, they saw the streets were unlit and desolate and people still distraught. They joined the lamentations of their friends and families, cursing Kaikeyi and grieving with Kausalya and Dasharatha. Valmiki Muni describes their anguish and grief in great detail over multiple chapters. Rama, Lakshmana and Sita covered a huge distance in Sumitra's chariot until they reached the banks of their beautiful river Ganga. Maharishi Valmiki devotes an entire chapter to describe the beauty and attributes of Ganga and the captivating surroundings. Rama remembered an almond tree in the area they were passing by and instructed Sumitra to stop there so they could enjoy the sights and sounds of the great river and camp there for the night. They rode along marveling at the beauty all around them until they reached the almond tree filled with flowers. Rama, Sita and Lakshmana dismounted. Sumitra yoked the horses and brought them to the water. They all sat there watching the river quietly when they heard the visitors arrive. These parts of the kingdom of Sringavirapura were ruled by a Nishadha chief, Guha, who respected and loved Rama. Nishadhas were indigenous tribes that lived in the Gangetic plains of India. Guha, the chief of this region, was a popular leader, respected and loved by his tribe. Guha had been distressed when he heard the news of Rama's exile. He now welcomed Rama and Lakshmana warmly and offered a variety of food and declared to Rama, "This kingdom is your kingdom. This is your Ayodhya. You can spend 14 years in exile in these forests. There is an excellent bed and a satisfying feast ready for you. There is enough fodder for your magnificent horses. My men are exceptional guards and nothing moves in these forests without their knowledge. You will be safe and comfortable living out your exile here. There's plenty of food and abundance of game. We are fortunate, Rama, to have you as our guest. Please accept our request and offerings." Rama gratefully embraced Guha, overcome by Guha's affection and the honor bestowed on him. He inquired after Guha and his bandhus, friends, family, and kinsmen. Rama then gently declined Guha's proposal for his exile in Nishadha territory. He had to uphold his promise to his parents to be in Dandakaranya, Dandaka forest. Also, he said, since he was an ascetic who had renounced worldly possessions, he could not live in the Nishadha territory in comfort with abundance of food and special company. He gently reminded Guha that as an ascetic, he had to gather and eat his food, fruits, roots, and game hunted by them, and they couldn't enjoy Guha's cooked feast. Rama expressed his plan to stay the night there and requested Guha that all the honor and attention be extended to Dasharatha's splendid horses instead. Guha's army of men quickly took care of the horses, offering these animals food and water. Lakshman attended to Rama and Sita's simple needs before they retired for the night. The kind-hearted Guha was moved to see Lakshmana keeping watch without sleep that night. He encouraged Lakshmana to sleep on a comfortable bed prepared for him while he, Guha, kept watch for the night. "You are used to comfort, Lakshmana, and we are used to all kinds of sufferings. We will keep vigil to watch over Rama. No one is dearer than Rama to me. We seek to serve Rama and by his grace fulfill dharma and attain the ultimate wealth, artha. We know these forests from our constant wanderings, and with a bow in hand, we will protect Rama and Sita. Rest happily on your bed, dear friend." Lakshmana addressed Guha, "I have no fear that under your protection, we will be safe. But how can I sleep or enjoy pleasures or eat heartily while Dasharatha's Rama and Videha's Janaki sleep on the ground? They sleep comfortably on the grass. Rama has lived like our father, like the scriptures recommend and our ancestors did, and would have defeated the gods in a battle. Yet he is banished and is sleeping on the grassy ground. My father, Dasharatha, is probably dying of grief as we speak, and our mothers will not outlive him too long. Looking forward to Shatrughna's arrival and presence may keep my mother alive for a bit longer, but Mother Kausalya is already grieving the separation from Rama. The citizens of Ayodhya are already struggling with Rama's departure. I worry how the city will survive the loss of the king and queens. How can I sleep when I worry about if we will see Ayodhya again, if we will see our parents when we return after the fulfillment of the exile?" The young and sleepless Lakshmana was tormented by grief and fears, not for himself but for Rama's plight, his parents' grief and Ayodhya's misfortune. He shared his anguish about the injustices of the past and the uncertainties of the future with his patient friend Guha. In the next episode, we will see the travelers continue onwards, making and leaving behind friends. Lakshmana offers his wholehearted support to Rama unquestioningly and without hesitation. Looking forward to more stories ahead. Until then, Ram Ram.